We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. What an amazing statement. Love never fails. And so why would we strive for anything lower than that? Love is what we should be striving for. And so there's only one characteristic I thought when I first started meditating on this part of the Bible. I thought, well, we'll probably get through several of these things. And then the more I thought, the more God was just opening my mind to various things. And I think we will probably not get through more than one characteristic today. And that one is love does not envy. Love does not envy. This is actually maybe you say, well, I don't have envy, but there are often. And there are many characteristics and many subtleties of this that can creep into our lives. Maybe it's not in some big outright thing, but often it could be in little tiny ways. And since we're talking about something so huge, we're talking about love, we want to have as little hindrances as possible in our lives. So love does not envy. So the first thing we should do is understand, because people use the words jealousy and love, they actually are different words and they mean different things. Of course, they're different words, but they mean different things. Jealousy is talking about when you have had something and now you've lost it. Jealousy is defined as something that you had and now you no longer have it. Or you had it and now you no longer, or you still have it and you're protective over it. And it's an unhealthy protection. Usually that's what we're talking about. It doesn't have to be unhealthy, but it is in the Bible, it talks about envy here. And we're talking now jealousy, because those two terms get very confused. So jealousy is when you possess something or have possessed something, and now you've lost it, and you have this protectiveness over it. Many times you hear it in relationships. There's a relationship and then that relationship breaks up or it deteriorates, and then somebody is jealous over another relationship that is formed with that one of the two people, because they had it and now they don't have it. That's jealousy. That's what jealousy is. Envy is different. Envy is when I do not have something and somebody else does and I want it. And I'm resentful in some way about the person who does have it. So really the difference is in possession. Really the difference is what I have. Jealousy, I have had or I do have. And envy is I don't have. I don't have it. You could be envious over a person's car. You want that car and you like that car and you wish you had that car, but they have it and you don't. That's envy. Jealousy, on the other hand, you might remember the story of Saul and David, where David went out to battle And Saul was out to battle, and they came back, and it was a great victory. And the people were singing because that's what they did. And, you know, the army comes through, and there's a big procession, and people are there to greet them, and they're singing their songs. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. And Saul was like, what? He got enraged with jealousy because he had this fame, and now that fame was being transferred to David. It was being given to David. And so that's jealousy. Because he was the one that they honored before, and now they're giving greater honor to David. And he says that. What more can they do but give him the kingdom? They were just singing a song about him. Because that's what happens. Jealousy and envy make us do crazy things. It makes us think in ways that don't make sense. It doesn't make sense that Saul would say the only thing left is for him to get the kingdom. They sang a song about him. There were commoners just singing a song. And he's thinking the kingdom is going to be transferred to him. Well, he knew that the kingdom eventually was going to be transferred away from him. It had already been prophesied to him. But this is a different matter altogether. And we can think about it this way, that even if we go back to the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not envy is actually one of the top ten. It is one of the Ten Commandments. You shall not envy. So it is consistent. It's a consistent theme throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so the obvious things is you could be envious over so many things. You could be envious over a person's influence. That you would like the influence that they have. You would like, sometimes you might be in a classroom situation or something like that, or somebody speaking, and you would like the ability to be close to the person, and yet they're putting their attention somewhere else, and you're just envious that somebody else has that attention. Sometimes even parents promote this kind of thing by having favorites among their children. This one is kind of the unspoken favorite. Sometimes it's the spoken favorite. Who knows? And others might desire to be that one, creating envy amongst children. That's very possible. Parents do this, I think, very regularly. You could be envious over a person's abilities, their accomplishments, their possessions. You could desire to be able to run like somebody, to just do things that other people, talents that people have. It's all over the place. And we have to be careful, because even little things that come unto us can erode the love that we have for one another. Even little things can erode love that's in us towards others. And so we have to work hard to know and to make sure that we do not have any of this in us. You see it among us, among siblings and among friends, the attitude of, well, you get everything. You have such an easy life. You get all the breaks. When you hear that undertow of, I wish I had, and there is a little thread of resentment in there, because I do not have. How come not me? How come I can't? How come I don't? How come I don't get all those breaks? How come I? And there is the key. It's mentioned somewhere else in this list of love characteristics. All of these things focus. We are so tempted to focus on us. We are so tempted to focus on us, and envy is basically focusing on us, but love is certainly focusing on everyone else. And if you take something away from all of this list, one of the common themes, I'm not sure if it's through all of them, but many of them, that is the theme. Love focuses on others. Love doesn't focus on you. It's always others focused. Always others focused. And we're so tempted, and it comes so natural to focus on us. We want, I have to get, I do. We are so tempted to focus on ourselves when love is basically others focused. And in fact, it says right here, it says, love does not seek its own. Love does not seek its own. We should be always thinking about others. We should be always thinking about others, because that's what love is. When you're thinking about yourself and your self-preservation and your self-promotion and your ideas and what you want above everyone else, you're basically at that cusp of not showing loving characteristics. It doesn't mean that you can't take care of yourself, because of course we can, but there's healthy ways and unhealthy ways of doing it. There's loving ways and there's unloving ways of doing this. And often it's so easy to cross the line as to what is loving and what is unloving. It is okay to want things. It is okay to want a nice job. It is okay to want to live in a nice place. It is okay to want to drive a nice car. But what is not okay is if you have negative feelings towards those who do. It is certainly okay to want to excel, and it's certainly okay to want to be good at what you do. The Bible tells us that we should have a spirit of excellence. And so it's okay to want that spirit of excellence. What's not okay is to resent or mistrust or not like or have feelings that are not good. Sometimes people are not really worthy to be trusted, but that's another matter altogether, because the Bible does say that we should always trust, but that's not for today, that's for another day. We shouldn't have the negative feelings towards others because they have something and we don't. They have something and we don't. It is really a heart matter. What it boils down to is what's going on in your heart. What's going on in your heart? Is your heart okay because somebody else has and you do not? Because people do very strange things when envy comes in the picture. Sometimes they manipulate people. Sometimes they're obsessed with certain things. Sometimes they'll work extremely hard and, you know, go way out of bounds and way out of balance just to obtain something. They'll commit in ways that are well beyond them. I'm sure you have known or heard about people who take mortgages upon themselves which are way beyond their abilities to pay off, just because they want that house, keeping up with the Joneses, that kind of thing. And then they're encumbered for years and years and years trying to get out from under that. People do it. There are a few things that just became so clear to me that this can creep into our lives. Do you know, even at small levels, at subtle levels, and you say, well, I don't, and people can have whatever they want, and I'm okay with that, and that's fine. But think about it, even just being a sore loser. Have you ever just played a game of some sort, and you're playing, and you realize this person's a sore loser. This person just gets so upset over they didn't win. You know, you can't hardly play a game with people because they get so irritated. Essentially, at its root, it's a form of envy. It's a form of envy. They want what you have. You won, they want to win. They want to be the winner. And they're not gracious about it. They're not happy for you. They're visibly upset about it. I'm not against competition. I like competition. It's okay. But there's a way to be healthy about it, and there's a way to be unhealthy about it. If you can't lose gracefully, then maybe you have a subtle form of envy. And if you do, there is an erosion of love in your life. There is an erosion of love in your life. And it's something to repent, and it's something to change. And the Bible tells us very clearly. The Bible tells us very clearly this subject of often we talk about what's unfair. If you hear yourself saying, "Well, this is unfair," especially in relation to you. You know, we were at a lunch once with our two nieces. They were really young at the time, and I remember it was just such a striking example. One was really young, and then the other one was a little older. And you know, they had the normal kid stuff, you know, like a burger and fries or whatever it was. And now the little one looks at the older one and says, "Well, she has more fries. That's unfair. She has more fries." It's like you're half her size, literally, and it's okay if she has a few more fries. But at the root of it, unfair is, I want her fries. I don't have, all about me. I want more stuff. And not that they can't, there's no way she would have even been able to eat it, but because somebody else had, she wants. That's essentially another form of envy. She has, how come not me? She has, I want. Envy. That's what envy is. When I don't have, somebody else does, and I want, and I'm not happy about them that they do. That's envy. The Bible tells us very clearly in 2 Corinthians, it says that when you compare yourselves with yourselves and you measure yourselves with yourselves, you're not wise. Basically, the comparison trap is the start of envy. The comparison trap can lead you right down a bad path. That measuring yourself with yourselves, we are comparing yourselves to yourselves. The Bible says it's not wise. The Bible also tells us, this is actually, the Bible doesn't tell us, but this is actually another form of envy in its infancy. If not taken in the right way, this is the start of what could be envy. I'm looking at them and I see what they have, and I'm measuring myself against what they have. And I see what they have and I see what I have. And the Bible says it's not wise. The Bible tells us in this place, not only is it not wise, it's not loving. When you go down that route, it's not loving. When you're looking at others, it's basically the definition of what envy is. It's the start of that. Now that doesn't mean that you can't look at others and say, I would strive to be like them. You can have role models. You can see characteristics in others and say, yeah, I would like to be that. That would be great if I would be like that. If I could play sports like that, or if I could be disciplined like that, or if I could sing like that, or if I could write like that, or if I could, you know, fix things like that. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing to have role models and to strive to be like others. The Bible's not against that. The Bible is in favor of us excelling. In fact, we should be excelling. We should be excelling. We should have that spirit of excellence. Daniel had that. Daniel and the three men that were with him in that foreign land, it tells us that they had a spirit of excellence. It's okay. But it's not okay to do it in a way where we have negative feelings about those that possess those characteristics, and we do not. Sometimes it's just a matter of self-esteem, or insecurity, or being threatened. If we go back to Saul's example of him and David, he was threatened by David. If we go to the Pharisees and Jesus, the Pharisees were threatened of Jesus. Jesus was taking away some of their influence. Jesus had the ability to turn their whole power base upside down, and he was doing it, and so they were threatened of him. They were threatened of him. And sometimes those kinds of feelings, those kinds of insecurities, those kinds of self-esteem, low self-esteem issues, they feed right into this characteristic. And we could say that's just who we are, or that's what I've always been, or that's how it's been. And the Bible says we should be loving. This is part of loving. To get rid of all of these characteristics in our lives that lead to envy. And sometimes it's just a simple matter. Sometimes it's just a simple matter of there are certain people that God gives incredible talents to. There are certain people that hardly work at all for a certain thing, and yet God has granted them the ability to do things. I remember when we were in the city, there was one kid. He was just a kid, and he was a fantastic musician. He told me once that he hardly practiced at all. That he did take like two lessons, and after two lessons, his teacher basically was like, "Yeah, he can't teach you anything." And this is a God-given gift. I mean, you can't be credited with him. God just gave him this gift. I mean, he could play the piano incredibly without any effort at all. I would have loved to have done that. Anybody else who, especially if you're a musician and you've just spent hours, and I remember hours and hours of playing the piano. It might not sound like it now, but when I was a kid, sometimes 4 hours a day playing the piano. And to hear somebody else, "Oh yeah, I don't practice at all." Are you kidding me? There could be a doorway for those kinds of things for envy. I wish I had. I should have. He shouldn't. He doesn't do. I do. It could creep in very subtle ways. Especially when we see people, and often in people that are just given the grace of God. They're just graced with ability. God gave them abilities. And some people seem, and you probably work with some of them, they hardly work at all to do what they do, but then they're excellent at it. They just seem to know. How do they know? I don't know. They don't seem to be, I don't ever see them reading anything. They just know. That doesn't seem fair. And it could creep in many subtle ways. We're going to turn to a verse in Hebrews 13. I hope it's Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. Yep, Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. It says this: "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" At the root of envy is a discontentment. At the root of envy is discontentment. I'm not content with what I have. I want what somebody else has. So if you're not content with what you have, then there is an open door for envy. It doesn't mean that you have envy yet, because there, you could want things. It's called desire, and there are good desires to have. There are good desires to have, but if that turns negative, it is a pathway for the enemy of our souls to creep into your life, and we should be careful of it. It is a pathway for us to go astray, to be led astray, and it is very, very subtle, very subtle. And the Bible tells us that we should just be content with what we have. And it doesn't say just because you should. This is not like parents often say, why should I do it? Because I say so. That's not this. Then he gives a great reason for being content with what you have. Because he says, be content with what you have because I'm with you. You shouldn't want anything else. You have the best. You have all that you need in Christ. You have all that you need. God is with you. You don't have to want for anything. He's with you. So be content. Sure, you could get a bigger thingamabob. Sure, you could get something that's nicer. Sure, you could get something more shiny. But God is with you. Be content. And this is what is at the heart of envy, is not being content with what you have. Worship team, would you come on up? We're almost done. Now, many of us, especially as we get older, we still have to look at our hearts. Because often when we get older, we've obtained everything that we want, or we can't obtain everything we want. And you say, well, I don't want anything. Well, that's because you might already have everything you want. It doesn't mean that the heart matter is still not there. So we still have to be careful. Even after we obtain so much, and we have so much, and we've been blessed with so much, because we follow God's principles, very often He chooses to bless us for following, and that's a wonderful thing. But our hearts still need to be right. Our hearts still need to be right in that. Because when you think about it, love rejoices with others. If they have, rejoice with them. Rejoice with them. You win, you won, I'm happy for you. Good game. You've done well. You got that promotion? Wonderful. You got that grade that I was looking for? Amen. I'm glad for you. I'm happy for you. You don't have to. Love rejoices with others. Love is others focused. It's not focused on yourself. It's others focused. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Be happy with those who are happy. Be happy with the success of others. Don't let the success of others be your demise. Let the success of others be uplifting to you. Because that's what love is. That's what love is. Love is caring about others and rejoicing with them as God blesses them. As they succeed. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Be content with what you have because God is always with you. His name be praised. Worship team, will you come on up and lead us in a final song?